Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And concern continues to mount over microplastics pervading our water supply. With huge amounts of snow piling up in the Sierra, scientists at the Desert Institute in Reno are using it as a chance to analyze the snowpack. And they are finding that polluting microplastics are actually embedded in the snow in these remote, pristine spots. For more, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Monica Arianzo, Associate Research Professor at the Desert Research Institute, who's been conducting this analysis. And Doctor, we appreciate your time here this Sunday. So the first question is, how did these get there? How do you get microplastics 14,000 feet in the air?
Thank you so much for having me join you today. And that's a great question and something we are still really interested in looking more at. And so how are these small plastic particles making their way into our snowpack? It's probably because they're in our air, and there's other studies that have been done, for example, work by the University of Utah that's shown that these small pieces of plastics can be found in our rain as well. And so this suggests that these small pieces of plastic are traveling in our air, in our atmosphere, and then when it rains or snows, that those small particles actually come with the precipitation down, in this case, into our snowpack.
When we talk about small, obviously, I mean, fitting within a snowflake or a raindrop, how small are we talking?
Great question. I look at everything that's about the size of a pencil eraser down to about the size of a bacteria. So I look for things that I can see with my naked eye to things that I need a microscope to see. And in the snow, we tend to see these smaller pieces of plastic in our samples.
Why are these problematic?
Great question. So I'm an environmental scientist. I'm really interested in looking at how humans impact the environment. And the reason why we're interested in looking at these plastics is because these are human-made products, right? And so we want to know, where are they in the environment? How are they getting there? What are the sources? And then where might they be ending up? And so they might be problematic for the organisms that live in the soils and in our waterways, but a lot more work needs to be done to understand the impacts of these plastics.
I think part of the reason this is so amazing to so many people is, you know, this is considered to be among the cleanest sources of water that you'll find anywhere on the planet. And when you get into snowpack, that's high up. And Hetch Hetchy water is infamous for its clarity and for how clean it is. What you're saying is that we have these microplastics that are in the snowpack and melting into our water sources.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is the second year of a five-year study. And so this is the second year I visited 9 sites around the Lake Tahoe. And so we are trying to understand how the amount of plastics changes both in space, so across those 9 sites, and then in time, so between year to year, right? So this year is super exciting to study because it's been such a big snow year with all of these storms hitting our mountains and all the areas in between. And so we are really interested in looking at that. And then the next phase of this study is going to be looking at how those plastics then move from our snow into our waterways. And I have a great team of graduate students who are really excited to help answer those questions.
See, I'm a sucker for the field work and the process of it. So you're going out there in the middle of all the snow and testing in the field. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. So what I do is me and a team of other scientists and students, we go out, when we can drive to the mountains, which this year has been a little hard, but we go to these 9 sites and we take usually backpacks and we have a sled we take with us that we load our gear onto and we haul that gear And some of our sites are closer to the roads because we want to see sort of that more accessible areas. But some of our sites are a bit more remote, so we might be snowshoeing. Sometimes we're taking skis out there. And we go to these sites and we take a core of the snow. So we take it's kind of like a big household drill, but I do it by hand, and we drill down into the snow and we go 1 meter at a time and bring all that snow back to the laboratory. So years like this, we bring a lot more snow back home to the lab.
Oh, I love it. You're giving off some frozen Indiana Jones vibes, but hey, like really, really important work. And I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us about that work and what it means.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.